Whereas, let's just pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, dear God, for the day you've given us. Thank you, Lord, for the sunshine today. And Lord, we know, Lord, that the rain and the sunshine, Lord, all comes from you. And Lord, we come together today, and we just want to say thank you, Lord, for the day that you've given us, Lord. We praise you, Lord, that you're the one who gives us every day. And we know, Lord, that this day is going to be good. And we pray, Lord, that you would just help us as we open up your word this morning, or this afternoon, I should say. And Lord God, I pray that you would just move in our hearts, Lord, change our thinking. I pray, dear God, that as we have been studying the last couple of weeks, Lord, that we'd be able to deepen our relationship with you, Lord, because we need you so very much. And we thank you, dear God, for the fact, Lord, that that is possible. And we ask, Lord, that you would just take away all the distractions, Lord, thinking about the storm and what we got to get ready to do for tomorrow. But I pray, Lord, that you would just really speak to our hearts now. Give me clarity of thought and communication, I pray. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So take your Bibles, if you would, real fast. Go to Psalm chapter 34. We're going to start there. We're going to hit a few places today. And we're going to kind of just introduce. We're talking about this series, this last couple of weeks as we start a new year. And hopefully, what's everyone say? New year, new what? New you, right? New year, new you. And, by the way, God loves you just the way you are, but God doesn't want to leave us the way we are. He wants to move us forward. And part of that is we need to really pursue God, know him, find life, and really experience peace in the life that we live. And I want to just share with you where we're going to go today is this idea. We've been reading the book by A.W. Tozer. Hopefully many of you got it. We'll have a few more next week when you come back. But the idea is this. Have you ever thought about what it means to really grasp who God is? In some ways, that's almost impossible. But God has revealed so much about himself that we can grasp him. And here's the other thing. We can really know God personally. You know, not just as we read about him in a book, but we can know God personally. And I just want to kind of say this, as students of God's word, the Bible is God's revelation to us. It's a wonderful tool, but it's not the end of the story. God wants us to know himself. And that's what we're going to kind of dig into a little bit this morning. And we've kind of sharing this idea and kind of teasing it out every week. But here's the thought. Wouldn't you guys love it to have a really regular and personal experience with God in your life? That sounds inviting, right? We'd love to see that. But one of the challenges is, how do I do that? Anybody feel like they're in the rat race? Right? We're running here, there, everywhere. And it's kind of hard to know God, on the turnpike sometimes, right? It's hard to know God when we're just running crazy. And by the way, it's not even so fast how fast our car is going. It's how fast our mind is going. And that's what we're going to kind of dig into a little bit this afternoon. If I say this morning, forgive me, I'm used to starting in the morning. But we'll get better as we go on. So here's our thought we want to tease out today a little bit more, which is this. We cannot guarantee that this year is going to bring better situations. By the way, understand that this is going to be the largest snowstorm in 10 years. You all were liking it. It was feeling like we were living in the Carolinas, not in New Jersey. This year, we came back to New Jersey, I think, right? We're experiencing, bitter cold, snow, and all the other things that winter brings us, right? So here's the thought, though. We can't guarantee that that's going to get better, but we can guarantee one thing, right? We got to be better people. We can't change what's going to face us, but we can change how we face it. And better people, here's the thought. Better people believe in God, and they really know him personally. And that's what makes them better. And we're going to talk about this. And here's the thought. You might know somebody like this. Maybe it's you. I hope it is. But you might know someone like this. Better people rest in God's power. And better people rest in God's presence. Better people trust God even when we can't figure out why we're in the situation we're in. Because they know him personally, and here's my thought, and they know him in a progressive kind of way. Like, we're getting to know God a little bit better. It's kind of like a marriage. It's like family. When we get to know each other, then all of a sudden we can relax. You guys might have heard the story. Our dog of 12 years passed away like a few weeks ago. So we actually just picked up, we were able to adopt this dog, rescue this dog. And when we got into our house, by the way, his name is Jasper. We didn't pick it. He came with his name, Jasper. So Jasper is an Australian Shepherd. He's this little dog. He's going to be about 25 pounds, but he never stops moving. If you walk toward him, he goes that way. You know, then you step back, he'll come to you. Like, he never stops moving. And I guess I understand as dogs that get fostered, he apparently grew up in what they call a puppy mill. So he was in his cage like all the time, and I don't know if they treated him real good, but he's just so apprehensive, and just when you go near him, he's not afraid. He's not sure if you're okay or not. And I want to throw this out. Sometimes, isn't that how we feel about God? You know, we read about him, and we hear he's good, but then why is my life going the way it's going? You know, and we wrestle with those kind of situations, right? So we're going to kind of flesh that out a little bit this morning as we dive in. And I want to just step back really quick, right? And I want us to reflect on where we've been. Pastor Ansu preached last week, talked about some things, and 2 weeks before that I did as well. But here's the thought. Three things we want to grab a hold of. Here's where we've been. We talked about what our needs are. We talked about some of our challenges. And we talked about some things from Scripture that we can kind of take along with us. So here's the first thing, right? Our need. And I want you guys to just kind of jot this down. Here's our biggest need, is that we need to have a relationship with God. And here's why the Bible says, right? He says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, in other words, stays with me, walks with me, and in him bears much fruit. But check out what it says next. For without me, what can you do? Nothing. By the way, we got to kind of believe that. Like, in our own power, I don't know about you guys, do you ever feel so limited sometimes? You can't change your boss. You can't change his boss. You can't change your situation. You can't change the government. You can't change where you live. You can't change a lot of stuff. We feel like powerless, right? But God can do all things. And we need him, right? And he says that in Philippians 4. He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So it seems like, man, I need to have a really good relationship with God, and I need to relate well with Jesus, because within him, I can do all things. Without him, I can't do anything. And I'll throw this out. Do you believe that? Sometimes, I know we say these things a lot, but we act like we can do everything. By the way, you know, anybody type A? We're afraid to let it, yeah, that's me, right? We're kind of Pastor Anthony, oh, Corsipo, Anelda, right? We like to do things, and where's Jonathan? I don't see Jonathan. He's out. Oh, there he is. He's a little bit type A, right? But we're afraid, like, you know, to not have things our way or be in control. You know, another way to say, you know, about type A, anybody like to be in control? Who's that? A couple of us, right? The rest of you guys, you know, it's bad to lie in church, right? You know how it is, right? By the way, that's a joke. It's bad to lie anywhere. God sees you everywhere you go, not just church, right? But without him, we can't do anything. So we need God because we are so limited, right? And I want to just kind of continue with that thought. Here's some of the challenges we kind of talked about. Here's the first one was, and think about this for a second. Do you really desire God and follow him close? Like, we desire to, right? You know, we have a lot of desires. I desire to be in better shape. We desire to lose weight. We desire to do all these things in the beginning of a new year. But a lot of times our desires don't get fulfilled, right? And our search for God, our desire to be with God, sometimes we struggle with it. And that passage, I love that verse that says about, you know, we desire God and we follow hard after him. We're chasing God hard. But sometimes we're not because of all the other things in life that get in our way. And then we talked about that next week. One of our challenges is this, right? In this world, we like to possess things, don't we? We like to possess stuff. We like to possess people. But here's the problem, right? And I'll throw this out. Our possessions often take a lot of our time. They take a lot of our money. But here's the biggest problem. They take a lot of our minds. Because even if we're not physically chasing after something, we're thinking about it. And our minds are cluttered, and it's kind of hard to chase after God if our mind is filled up with all this other stuff. And that's a real challenge for us, right? So, and we're supposed to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Christ, letting go of these things that don't really work. But I don't know about you guys. Do you feel like your mind never stops? And by the way, here's the challenge. In the day we live in, like, you know, media is at your fingertips every second. I don't know about you. And I'll throw this out. Here's just a quick takeaway. I challenge all of us. You guys can challenge me this. Sometimes we just need to put the phone down or turn the notifications off so my mind can be decluttered for a minute and I can see God. And I'll share this, and I kind of shared this phrase a couple weeks ago with you as well. I don't think that our pursuit of God is a multitasking experience. I know we have to multitask in life a lot, right? Generally speaking, it's great if it just takes a little bit of time apart from all that stuff to really see God, really hear God. We'll continue on. By the way, sometimes it's hard to hear God, isn't it? Because I just keep hearing everything else. So the next thing we talked about, and Pastor Anthony spoke on this last week, was this idea of removing the veil of ourself. And you guys remember the picture? What picture did Pastor Anthony show last week with the veil? What did he show? Anybody remember? He showed the temple or the tabernacle. And remember, there was a curtain that separated the Holy of Holies, right, where the Ark of the Covenant was, where the high priest could go in once a year with blood and put the blood in there and pay the penalty for the people for their sins. And that veil was there. And the high priest could only go in once a year. And if he didn't do it right, they tied a rope around his waist because they could pull his dead body out, because you can't approach God in his holiness in the wrong way, right? And here's what happened. In our lives, Jesus Christ, when he died, and Pastor Anthony spoke about this last week, when Jesus died, the curtain that separated the Holy of Holies from everything else was torn from top to bottom. Can you imagine? I remember watching this in a movie. Like, you hear this like ripping sound. And the curtain opens up. And Pastor Anthony said this last week. He said, you know what? We have built back the curtain that separates us from knowing God intimately and personally. And the curtain isn't this thing that God had said we should have, this curtain that separated the Holy of Holies. The curtain is ourselves and our wants and our desires, and all those things get in the way. Our self-righteousness, because we think we're it's almost good enough, we don't need God. Our self-pity, our self-confidence, our self-sufficiency, and our self-love all get in the way. And today we want to talk about one more thing that gets in the way. And you guys are in church, so you guys say, what do you mean? And here's the issue. Chronic, you know what chronic means? It's like you just can't get rid of it. Chronic unbelief. And here's the problem, right? Our faith is what enables our spiritual senses to function. And you're going to see as we play this out, it'll make a little bit more sense. Without faith, we have very little conscious communion or relationship with God. And everybody look up for a sec. I'm not trying to tear down your faith, but our faith a lot of times is weak. And it needs to grow. It needs to be built up. It needs to be cultivated, right? And by the way, me and Pastor Anthony were talking about, always remember when we God's given us the ability to teach his word, but we're having the same difficult time living it out as you are. Because our minds are cluttered. We're running here and there and to and fro and crazy too. But man, we need God. And one of the challenges is a lot of times we really live in unbelief, if we're honest. We'll talk about what that means. So let's jump on in. We're going to look at Psalm 34. And let's talk about this for a second. How do I relate to God personally? And the answer is, everybody say this with me. How do I relate to God personally? Through faith. And you're going to see why. Through faith. And let's dig into that just for a second. The author of the book that we're reading, Tozer, he said this as he read God's word. He said, to most people, God is an inference, a deduction. I'm not trying to get too deep and philosophical on us, but here's what he's trying to say. He's saying God is not an experiential reality, but he can be known. But it'll take our spiritual senses to be sharpened through faith. And I want you guys to check this out. Psalm 34. Turn there if you guys would. And by the way, this is a psalm written by King David. He was a sinner just like us, but he was a man after God's own heart. And look what he said as he talked to God. He said, I sought the Lord. And that's what we got to do, seek God, right? And look what he says about God. Listen to these phrases. And I want you to understand that God is someone we can know just like any other person or being on earth. And he says, I sought the Lord, and what? Say it loud. He heard me. Right? He heard me like anyone else does. And he delivered me from all my fears. And then look what it says next. It says, they looked to him. In other words, he could see God in the midst of life. And he says, and they were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. And he said, the poor man, he cried out. And look what it says again. And the Lord, what? Heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. And then notice this next verse, by the way. This is a beautiful verse. He says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Now, I want to stop for a second. Notice the words that David used, right? He used words like, he heard me, I looked, I saw him, I cried out to him. Again, he heard me. And then he says the phrase, taste and see. Another word for taste, by the way, might be the word like experience. Taste and see that God is what? Good. And I want us to understand, and I gave you a couple other references there. Psalm 45:8, it talked about when he was in God's presence, it's almost like he could smell the beautiful things around him. I want you to think of it this way. It's almost like, you know, it's like laying out, boy, what a difference today. I don't want to lay outside too long because it's like 15 degrees outside. But it's like laying out like on a spring or summer day, and you smell the flowers, and you feel the wind hit your face. Like, that's what it's like to be close to God. In John chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus said this. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. You know, again, that idea of God being knowable. And in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, in the Beatitudes, right, he again talks about that same kind of concept that we can see God. And I want to throw this out for a second. You guys, let's be honest, right? Anybody seeing God, hearing God, feeling God's presence like the way you want to be all the time? Maybe not, right? And that's what we want to strive toward. So we're going to kind of just dig in a little bit further as we stop and think about that. And here's the problem. And by the way, these guys are saying, what do you mean unbelief? I came out here on a Saturday. You know, I could be home getting all ready for tomorrow, get my snowblower ready. By the way, pray for Pastor Ansu. Pray for me, too. His snowblower is not ready. I was supposed to call somebody to have one delivered over, and it ain't here. Right? But guess what? God's good, and I got a couple shovels. I think we'll be all right, right? But here's the problem. Unbelief, right? Look what he says. And this is book, and I found the book of Hebrews. And by the way, I want you guys to understand, Hebrews is a book, it's kind of written to people like us. And it's written to believers in Jesus Christ who are scattered all over the world, and they're facing all kinds of stuff. And the author of Hebrews, he wrote this out, and he wrote this phrase. He said, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, in other words, if you want to hear God's voice, what does he say? Do not harden your hearts as in the day of the rebellion. And he's talking about the nation of Israel, right? Can you imagine this for a second? You know, God brought the nation of Israel out of Egypt. They crossed over, right, the Red Sea on dry ground. They wandered around and God led them across, right, the Jordan River on dry ground. And they took the land, but they still couldn't really believe or know God. And it's easy for us to kind of critique them and go, man, if I was walking with God, as I was behind the tabernacle and I saw the smoke by day and the fire by night, man, I would trust God in every single thing. Would you really? You know, we've kind of experienced that too, right? Like we trust God 1 minute and the next minute we're like, I don't know if he's going to deliver me. I'm not sure. And he continues, he says, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and they saw my works for 40 years. Now, I'm going to ask you guys a question. Everybody, engage with me real quick. Anybody, can you think back of something in your life when you said, what I saw happen had to be God? Raise your hand. What I saw happen had to be God. You know, I appreciate lots of our Liberian brothers and sisters. They went through the war. And I don't know how many times, you know, we as deacons, we interview folks coming in to make sure they really know the Lord as their Savior. And they'll go in and we'll say, what has the Lord done for you? And without a doubt, they'll start saying, you know what? I was being chased. I thought I was going to lose my life and God delivered me. Like they didn't see no way out and God got them out, right? And that's what he's talking about. So Israel walked this journey for 40 years. And by the way, everybody look up. You remember, what's one of the things that God did for them while they journeyed for 40 years in the wilderness? What did he do? He fed them, right? He brought manna every day, manna. You know, that's actually a food agency in Philadelphia now called manna. And what manna was is God literally dropped this like bread on the ground that was there every single day. Except for on the Sabbath, because he gave them double portion the day before. But he fed them. They didn't pick, they didn't plow, they didn't do any of the things they had to do. They didn't go to the grocery store because there was none. But God brought the manna down. And for 40 years, God kept taking care of them. And a couple times they had no water, God provided the water. So it's unbelievable, but they could not really trust God. Their faith was really, really weak, often like ours. And he said, in Luke, God says, he says, therefore I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray. Where do they go astray? Before my feet go astray, my heart goes astray. I put my faith in something else, not in God. And that's kind of the key here, right? And he says, they have not known my way, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. And by the way, that was Israel. But you ever felt like that? When we try to do things our way, where we don't really trust God, is it a restful time? You know, usually we have to say, I got to be on my game. By the way, none of us are on our game 24 hours a day, every day, right? Isn't that true? We try to fake it like we are, but we're really not, right? So it's impossible for us to do that. And God says, they're not going to enter my rest. And how about us? Don't we feel like that sometimes? The rat race of life, I just never stop. I just got to keep going and going and going and going. And how many times have we said, man, I'm so dumb, so tired. But here's the problem. We are trying to do what God can only do. You know, there's some folks in our church, right? They work endlessly because they have college students. And I'm not calling them out because I know what that feels like. I had 3 college students. And you guys, by the way, I'm a pastor. I had 3 kids in college. They all got through. The bills all got paid. They have a little bit of loans, but they're done. Let me say this. If I added up the tuition for all the years and the room and board and everything else that doesn't hit the list, you know, when you think about how college is going to cost, how much it's going to cost, it would be more money than I could make in a lifetime. But God was able to deliver my kids, right? It was unbelievable. I don't know how it happened. Like, I stand back and go, wow, how did that happen? You know, I left corporate America. You know, I made more money there. But even if I left state of corporate America and made that money, it wouldn't have been enough. But God had a plan to get them through. And faith in God just, like, changes everything.
changes everything.
And I'll share with you guys, we even were able to eat during that time. We went on a few trips during that time. You know, we ate out a little bit, you know, we lived life still, but God still made a way. And that's kind of like this challenge of faith, right? Like if we kind of do it ourselves, we're never going to enter into that rest that God gives. And that's what he wants us to understand today. So the problem is really our unbelief. And I want to share with you guys the rest of this. It says, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. And everybody look up for a sec. This is they call it an exhortation. It's like an encouragement. And here's what he's saying. He's saying, you know what? Beware. And if you see that happen in the body, in any of your brothers and your sisters, look what it says to do. But it says, exhort one another, encourage them daily while it is called today, and it's still called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And here's what sin does. Sin says, you can do it yourself. Don't waste your time with God. You're smart. You got big degrees. You make a lot of money. You can do it. No, you can't really do it. And he says, encourage them while it's called today. Don't let their heart become hardened with unbelief. He says, for we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Let me ask this as a question. Probably most of us in this room are born again through faith in Jesus Christ. So I am trusting God, and you are trusting God with eternity, with heaven versus hell. Can you trust God for today? Right? Can you trust God for today? And I kind of try to summarize this idea. Our lack of faith, our time with God, our time in his word, the lack thereof, leaves us open to Satan and his strategy. Here's what Satan does. We get so busy trying to do it all and the things we can't do. Guess what happens? Then Satan says, oh, I got these guys. We try to do this. We doubt, we worry, we work, and we try to take care of all the things in our life in our own power and strength. And here's the funny thing. It becomes this vicious circle because I can never do what? Say, enough. I can never do enough. I can never catch up. I can never get to that place where we're good. I paid all the tuition bill all the way for the whole 4 years. No. It's not enough. Because I don't know what else is going to come down the pike, right? It becomes this vicious and destructive circle as we experience God less and suffer more as our faith is replaced by doubt. And this is what we see in our churches and honestly in our lives a lot, don't we? We're on the rat race because we can't see that God can do some things that I can never do. And that's what I want to encourage you. But that's this idea about really relating to God. So you might say, how do I get there? Anybody want to jump off the rat race? They used to use this phrase. I haven't heard for a long time. They say, you know what? I just want to stop the world for a couple of minutes, and I want to get off. Right? And here's this idea, the pathway. And I want to throw this out. So here's the pathway. It's actually four quick steps. It's easy, right? Here's the first one. Come into relationship with Jesus Christ through faith. The first one's this, right? Salvation. And I'm going to throw this out. Salvation is small faith. Remember Jesus said this? He says, we only have to have faith like what? Like a mustard seed. And I want you guys to understand, a mustard seed is like a grain of sand. It's not like a sunflower seed, a pumpkin seed, anything large. A mustard seed is literally like a grain of sand. You know, if you dropped it, you'd have a hard time finding it. But that's the kind of faith we have. When we trust Jesus as our Savior, a lot of times our faith is just like a mustard seed. And then God grows it. And I want to say this. That ability for us to see God and relate to God in a greater way starts right there. We trust him for our salvation. And he says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He says, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. So your ability that you couldn't relate to God in the past has been changed, and now you can. And that's an awesome thing. It says this in John. It says, no one comes to the Lord unless he draws them. When God draws you to him and you trust him as your Savior, God opens up this whole new ability to see, hear, and experience God himself. And I just kind of try to jot this down. When God draws us and we trust him for our salvation, he gives us his Holy Spirit, the comforter, the one who encourages us, and he gives us spiritual eyes that are now open. And I want to kind of just take a minute. So basic faith brings salvation, and the Holy Spirit comes and he lives in us. Probably most of us in the room, we've experienced that basic faith, right? So now, what's the next thing? How do I get there? How do I get to the next spot? And we're going to try to move down. So what's that pathway? Our faith got to grow. And that's kind of what we're trying to get at, right? So our faith got to grow. And I want you guys to think about this passage that Moses read in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11. He says this. He says, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Wrestle with those words with me just for a quick second. What's he saying about that? If I see things, you know, in the normal way of vision, I know how to go. And I look at them and I kind of weigh them out. Like, all you guys, when you came in today, did anybody look under the pew to see if it was going to hold you up? Anybody check it out? I'll share a funny story. In the choir, we used to have pews up here in the choir loft. Remember that, Rosemary? And we actually had one person sat down and went boom right on through. And we actually, I don't know if they actually knew, but maybe they did. But we had these, like, red bricks. So we piled up all these bricks and held up the seat underneath of them. For a long time, we tore all that out. The bricks are gone and all that stuff is gone. But the point I'm trying to make is this, right? If we just see with our eyes, we only see part of the story. But when we have faith in God, we begin to see what we never could see before. And that's the point I want us to kind of get a hold of, right? And he says this, check this out. He says, by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Get this picture, right? When God created the world, he said what? Let there be light. And what happened? There was light, right? He said, let me create man, and there was man. He took man out of the dust of the ground, and he formed man. God didn't do that. He did it by his words. His words are that powerful. He didn't do it the way we would do it. He didn't fashion the mountains. You know, it didn't take it. God didn't have to get the bulldozers and the dirt and the rock to build a mountain. God just said, let it exist, and there it was. Do you understand? And eyes of faith enable us to see God and his power in that way and enable us to see possibility where we can't see anything. We just see hopelessness. And that's kind of this idea. And he says, he carries on in this verse. He says, but without faith, it's impossible to please God or him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, that God really exists, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. In other words, if we chase after God and seek God and go to God in all the situations of life, guess what? God's going to reward us. You know, I can't really relate to God if I have not accepted the reality of his existence, his personal love for me, and his plan to bless me when I seek him. And that's what I want to challenge us to do today, right? We need to understand God really exists, and we probably believe that for our salvation. He really loves me. And his plan is to bless me when I seek him with my heart. And this is this idea of faith in a growing relationship with him, right? Real quick, couple of examples. Check these out for a second. Can you imagine these pictures? And by the way, this is the book of Hebrews. I kind of put them up there, but I'll just talk about it. So just jot down these couple of names. Noah, Abraham, Sarah, right? So here's Noah. God calls Noah. He says, Noah, I want you to build an ark. It has never rained on earth before. Noah lives in a desert. He's never experienced a flood like this. He's never experienced it. And God says, I want you to build this boat. It's the size of like 2 football fields. I'm going to tell you how to build it. And most of us would look at God and go, are you kidding? But faith in God enabled Noah to obey God and build the boat and save his entire family and all of animal life on earth that breathes air. Noah could not have saw that with human eyes. He saw that with eyes of faith, right? And how about Abraham? It says, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he received as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. You know, I've been married now this year for 37 years. I can't imagine saying to Jane, hey, babe, you know what? We're going. Where are we going? I don't know. But we're going to sell the house. We're going to say goodbye to the kids. You know, we're going to go. We're just going to get in the car, and we're going, and God's going to lead us to go. You think she's going to say, okay, I'll be right there. Just give me a minute. No, right? But here's that. You'll say, you're crazy. She already thinks it, and that would seal the deal. That would absolutely seal the deal, right? And that's the point, though. But eyes of faith see beyond what seems crazy and what seems impossible, and it shows us that with God, all things are possible. And that's why I need to have a relationship with God, not just me or my friends or anybody else. I need God in the picture, right? And so then check out, let's look at the next person real quick, right? How about Sarah? Right? Can you imagine this? You know, Sarah is about 90-some years old. And God says, guess what? You're going to have a baby. Are you kidding, God? In fact, by the way, his name was Isaac, which in the Hebrew language means laughed. Sarah laughed. She's like, you're kidding. No, it's not possible. And by the way, Abraham wasn't some spring chicken either. Abraham's up in the same age range. How would these two people have a son of promise that would carry the seed forward and bring us Jesus? It seems impossible. And the answer is, it is, except for with God. And that's kind of the point, right? So the eyes of faith said, and look what it says there. It says, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed or a child. And she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him, God, faithful, who had promised. Therefore, from one man and him as good as dead. In other words, 95-year-olds are not bringing about children, right? Therefore, from one man and him as good as dead were born as many as the stars of the sky in the multitude, and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. How did Sarah do that? Because she had the eyes of faith and knew that God could do the impossible. And that's what God wants us to have. And that's why I got to relate to God, because God's going to fill in all the gaps you got. And I'll say this, I got a lot of gaps. I got a lot of issues, right? God can do those. It says, these people accepted the reality of God by faith, and they reckoned, or they counted it as truth to live by. They said, you know what? God said it, we're going to do it. We're going to do what he said. And they could see, hear, and do what no one else could because of faith. And I want to just stop for a quick second and tie this together for a minute. Do you think that's our issue? We need to relate to God, but our relationship with God has to have this belief that he is who he says he is, and he's going to reward me when I seek him. So I'm going to carve this time out of my life. I'm going to carve this time in my mind to not be cluttered up by all this other junk, because with him, I really can do whatever God wants me to do. I can do anything. Without him, I can't do anything. And that's kind of the point. And that's this kind of relationship that we want to develop with the Lord as we move forward, right? And that's sort of this idea of the pathway. And here's the last part of that step. So let me say this for a second. Do y'all think God can do anything? All right. So here's the test. Here's the test. When we go out of this place, we got to seek him. We got to spend time with him. We got to grow in our faith so that we can trust him when he tells us to do things that seem impossible. We got to spend time with him. We got to carve those things out. And look what Jeremiah the prophet, he wrote these words. He said this, and the nation of Israel was in Babylon 70 years. They were captive. They were under the thumb of the emperor, right? They didn't seem like there was any way out. And it says this. It says, thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed or done at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good work towards you and cause you to return to this place. He means Israel. And he says, and by the way, check this out about God's thoughts. I want y'all to believe this. Look what God says. By the way, it's up there on the wall. You can turn to your left or whatever side you have to look. Look what it says on the wall. It says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. That's God's thoughts toward all of us. God's not here to punish us, destroy us, do any of those things. God's thoughts toward us are good. He wants to give us a future. He wants to give us hope. He wants to give us a faith that's going to enable us to see what we never could see ourselves and be able to do things that we could never do without him, right? And he says that, and he says, and by the way, check out the next part. Look at verse 12. He says, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Think about this. The God of the universe wants to hear from me. He cares. He loves us, right? You know, we read that in the New Testament, right? God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. God cares what you're thinking. God cares about your issues, right? And look what he says. He says, if you do that, he says, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart and all your heart of faith. In other words, we got to kind of prioritize this relationship with God at a higher place than we probably have it prioritized. If we're going to relate to God this way, if we're really going to grow, if we're really going to walk in faith, if we're going to see God do things that we couldn't even imagine, we got to prioritize what we do with God, right, in our lives. And he actually says this, by the way. So here's a question, you know, in terms of developing our faith. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says this, says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the fact that when I begin to spend time with God in his word, like really read God's word, not so I can just teach it to Sunday school kids, but really read God's word because I need to meet God and know him better and trust him more and understand who he is and what he can do and who I am and what I ought to do, I got to prioritize that time with him, right? Because faith comes by hearing. And I'm going to throw this out. This is our challenge today as the rat race of life has me seeking everything else but the one who can really change things and change me. Isn't it true? I bet a whole bunch of you guys are going, I got to go to work. You know, we all got to go to work, right? It's true. And you should do that and you should be faithful, but you cannot work enough to meet all of your needs. Only God can make sure that happens. You know, because here's the funny thing, you could work all that time, have all that money, and someone could rip you off and take all your money. Right? Be gone. God has a way of making you not just earn it, but keep it. You know? It's kind of cool, like, you know, anybody drive an old car? And you wonder how long is it going to last? And it just keeps on going, right? That's God. Pastor Ansu shared about, got into a car accident, not his fault. His car is totally destroyed. God spares his life. He gets back the insurance. It's not really enough to buy any kind of car that they need. But guess what? God makes a way, and he gets a car for way less than he thought, way better than he thought. That's what God does, right? That's the difference, right? And that's kind of the challenge. So we got to really seek God. And we're going to kind of fly through this and get done here this afternoon. But here's kind of the thought. Take me down, if you would, there, my dear. Thank you. One more slide. Thank you so much. Realizing a better way. So what are we going to do, right? By the way, we got to relate to God. Amen? We got to relate better to God. Amen? So what are we going to do? Like, because God can do everything. God can make me see, hear, and understand that he could do far more than I could ever do. So what am I going to do? and boom, here's an answer. Put it up there. Next slide, if you would, please. Boom, there it is, right? I need to establish these daily disciplines. I'll throw this out. First one, a planned time of quietness. You all going, you don't know my life. You don't know my kids. You don't know my husband or wife, right? But here's the deal. A planned time of quietness with as little distraction as possible. I don't need to hear the news until I hear from God. I don't need to check my Facebook until I hear from God. I don't need to look at my Instagram until I hear from God first. Because he's going to settle my heart and get me ready for the day, right? And I'll tell you this, here's the second part. A planned and thoughtful reading of God's word. Not because you got to want it tonight, but because you need God before you even get there. You need his perspective. I don't know what kind of mood your boss is going to be in, but if you met with Jesus, it'll be okay. Right? A planned time of thoughtful meditation. You see this in the Psalms. Selah. Pausing. So we don't just read God's word and go, bup, 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 bup. Done. I'm ready for the day. We actually think about and hopefully even write down, what did I hear from God, right? As it relates to God, me, my issues, my needs, him, all the things, right? And then how about this one? A planned and organized time of prayer. Everybody look up for a second. Let's be real. Doesn't it seem like sometimes that like prayer is this thing that you do, but it seems like sometimes nothing ever really happens? You ever feel that way? I've been praying for this for 20 years, 30 years, 10 years. Still in the same spot, right? God knows what's going on. But we need that time to talk to God. And again, it's kind of like, how many folks out there, you're in a relationship? Maybe you're married, you're in a relationship. How does a relationship grow? Communication, right? Time, right? The more I spend time with Jane, the more I get to know her, even after 37 years, vice versa, right? If I don't communicate, it's hard to know, right? It's hard to understand that. So I read God's word and I listen. I'll throw this out by way. God doesn't typically call out the sky, Eunice. Eunice, he doesn't typically do that, right? He doesn't do that. But when you read his word and you begin to think about it, the Holy Spirit grabs a hold of those thoughts. And he just kind of zeroes in on exactly what you need in your life, right? And by the way, I could have picked all y'all names, not just Eunice, right? But seriously, that's kind of how it works, right? And I want to throw this out, a heart of desire for God and a will ready to seek him, deny myself, and change. So in our hearts, we have this desire, for sure, to go closer to God. But what we need is the faith and then the determination to really seek God. And I want to challenge this, right? This is not like a magic answer. You know, everyone in life looks for what they call like the silver bullet idea. You know, if you just do this, everything will be okay. This is going to take work, effort, discipline, determination. But you know what? You will never look back and say, ah, oh, I wish I didn't spend so much time with God. You know, I should have went to the gym. I should have went here. I should have went there. You'll never look back and say that. So I just want to kind of challenge with that thought. That's what we need to do, like kind of coming out of here. So everybody look up. Tomorrow's a snow day. So tomorrow you can put any of the news channels on. They will be on 24 hours tomorrow. And you will get an inch by inch, moment by moment update of how much snow it is. How bad the roads are, who ran out of salt. You'll get all that stuff tomorrow if you do that. Ooh, but by the way, here's the funny thing. Will that change your life tomorrow? right? You know, and by the way, we can. I like to watch the news. I kind of want to know what's going on as I, you know, I try to lead the church with Pastor Ansu. But you know what? All the news does when I watch it, I just get mad. And you guys, right? Like you see stuff and you say, is this person from Mars? You know, where did he come from? You know, or how could they think this is good or this is right? And by the way, it could go both ways, Democrat, Republican, Independent, whoever it is. Sometimes you just look at people and you go, is this guy really on Earth? Is he on my Earth? Right? So I watch that stuff and it just gins me up. And I could watch it, you know, 24/7. And on news channels, they're all on. They all have an angle. And they all want to suck you in and get you to watch them forever and sell their products as a result. But here's the deal. Just stop for a minute. If you just said, you know what, I'm going to watch it at 6 or I'm going to watch it at 7, but I'm not going to watch it at 5. By the way, the news, you guys notice, if you're at home during the day, the news comes on at 4. This is local news. 4. It goes to 5. Then you have the 5 o'clock version of the 4 o'clock version. And then we have the 6 o'clock version of the 5 o'clock version, right? And then at nighttime, they have the 11 o'clock version of the 4, 5, and 6 version at 11. And it's all the same stuff all over again, right? And then you can watch the national news at 6:30 and really get angry, right? You can watch that too, right? But here's the funny thing. I want to challenge this. Well, you know what? Can we just shut it off on one of those half hours and spend it with God? Right? And I think it will really, really change our life. And that's what I want to encourage us. And by the way, pray that for us, you know, as the pastors, as the deacons, as the leaders of the church. Like I said, God's given us maybe different gifts, but we're wrestling through life just like you all are. And pray that God would give us that same discipline. And you know what? Here's the deal. We won't maybe see the changes in us next week, but several months down the road, as we begin to make this our lifestyle, we're going to find more rest, peace, hope, and we're going to have possibilities that we never saw and we never heard. Amen? We're going to pray. Father God, thank you, Lord, for your word. I pray, dear God, that you would just take it to our hearts and cause us, dear God, just to pick the place, Lord, to spend time with you, pick the time, pick the place, quiet our life down so that we can hear from the living God in a way, Lord, that we need it. Father, I just ask these things in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. We're going to close with a song reel as our praise team comes back up, and then we will get you on your way as you prep up for the storm.
Let us stand, please, as we sing the hymn, No Not One, with the first 3 stanzas.
Like the love.
Just to be clear, there's no church tomorrow. Okay. So if you come, bring your shovel. You can help us shovel out, but that's it, right? Now, I encourage you, no church tomorrow. Stream is available. If you're a visitor, I want to encourage you to see Jonathan in the back. We have a little gift for you today. And we just want to encourage each of you, right? Let us seek God and develop our eyes and our ears of faith.
Amen.
And it will be life changing. Amen? And if we can help in any way, if there's a need, a prayer, whatever you got, let us know. And I want to say one thing last. I ran into a couple people, they came to church today, food pantry early, and they said, hey, did you not know I was sick? I had this problem. Do us a favor, you guys. If you guys have a need, whether it's food or some illness or some problem, pick up the phone, call Pastor Ansu's cell phone, call my cell phone, call the office and let us know. And by the grace of God and God's power, we're going to try to help. Amen? So don't think like we ought to know or we should know, we might know. Again, we're as crazy as you are in our lives. Give us a shout. Give us a call. And, you know, even as you be real careful as you go through the day tomorrow and Monday. And we just pray God's blessing and safety upon you. And Pastor Ansu is going to pray us out of here.
Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity you've given us to know you and to love you. Help us, O God, to pursue you with our hearts, O God. And with faith in you, Lord, knowing with you all things are possible, that we cannot join in this alone. And we have to believe and trust in you and have faith in you, that those things which seems impossible with us, Lord, is possible with you. Carry us through this day, Lord, and even this weather storm, Lord. We say, may you just guide us and guide our families, our church families, our neighbors, and our friends, oh God. We thank you now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.